The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 8 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Véronique Morin. Here are today's headlines. Trudeau shuffles his cabinet, a Montreal ER closes 16 hours a day, and fighting discrimination in the construction industry. At this hour, we are finding out who will be making decisions that affect all our lives. Prime Minister Trudeau is shuffling his cabinet. Here's a little taste of what's happening in Ottawa right now.
And disability inclusion.
Trudeau hopes new blood will bring new change to portfolios like Indigenous Affairs, Health and Safety, and Climate Change. Curtis Savage joins us now with the details. Hi, Curtis. So what do we know about Trudeau's revised cabinet?
So it's already confirmed that Foreign Affairs Minister Garneau will not return to cabinet. And there's also speculation that there will be a new Crown Indigenous Affairs Minister. Along with this, we know that Stephen Guilbeault will be Canada's new next Minister of Environment and Climate Change, which speaks to the growing worries of damage to the environment.
You mentioned a change in the Crown Indigenous Affairs Minister. What are the reasons for this change?
Well, despite years of conflict, Indigenous affairs have moved to the forefront of Canadian politics, notably after the discovery of the residential school student graves in the last year. Along with other issues, the Métis Nation of Ontario announced their unhappiness yesterday with the process in reclaiming land, which has become a significant issue for Métis in cities such as Sault Ste. Marie.
Is Trudeau's approach to cabinet changes different than before?
You know, gender parity is still of equal importance to Trudeau. In a statement from the government, they explain the new cabinet will remain gender balanced and will continue to deliver for Canadians and find real solutions to the real challenges of today and tomorrow. And while Canadians may be looking forward to changes in leadership, others have lowered expectations for the results of the cabinet reshuffle. Political analyst Ethan Cox has this to say.
I mean, I think these type of things tend not to make a huge impact. The direction of the government is the direction of the government. I think they tend to be more about who's a better salesperson for those policies in a particular portfolio.
And additionally, we know that Chrystia Freeland will continue to serve as Deputy Prime Minister, as well as François-Philippe Champagne, who will continue as Minister of Finance and Industry.
Thank you, Curtis. Quebec Parliament has introduced a new bill to fight sexual violence in schools. If the bill is passed, schools across the province will have to introduce a policy aimed to eliminate sexual violence. There have been several calls for the government to tackle the issue through all levels of education, from elementary school to high school. Here's Kathleen Gannon with the story.
The proposed bill has been in the works since March of this year. The National Assembly unanimously passed the motion to fight sexual violence within schools. During this morning's press conference, Lily Thibault, a sexual assault survivor, spoke to the importance of putting the victim first. What worries me is that the intention behind the government and the magistrate forget the interest of victims that should be at the heart of these discussions and reflections. The victims are totally discouraged when we talk about the current reporting system, and as a result, their aggressors go free. This law and its implementation would hopefully prevent sexual assault from the outset, though it is also geared towards changing how assaults are handled. Véronique Yvon of the Parti Québécois highlighted the current faults in the system. There is a need to change the approach and to reverse the burden of proof that is placed on the victims, even if they are victims of complex and intimate crimes. By shifting the burden of proof, more survivors may be willing to come forward. This could influence change in how the system investigates and prosecutes sexual assault. But first, this requires a willingness to reform. I would like to think that our system is open to question itself and change. The specialized tribunal represents a concrete way and a strong symbol of how this can be achieved. I support the project behind Bill 92. Should the bill be passed, we could expect changes across private and public school boards, as well as the judicial system. This is Kathleen Gannon for Concordia News.
Montreal mayoral candidates Valérie Plante and Denis Coderre addressed the lack of affordable housing in last night's debate. Plante also highlighted issues of collective transports and bike paths. Rather than creating more bike paths, Coderre advocated for a more efficient way to share the road with cars. He also said Montreal was dangerous and proposed to hire more police officers to solve the problem. For Plante, the city is not that dangerous. The candidates will meet in another debate tonight, focused on ecological transition. So Valérie Plante and Denis Coderre both promised to combat rising house prices in Montreal. Prices rose 25% since 2019 in the city. Anna Sabourin spoke with Catherine Lucier from urban development group Frappru about this crisis. She says the crisis is serious and ongoing.
There is a real crisis for affordable housing right now in Montreal. And obviously also there is a shortage of like social housing that will be a real solution for a lot of tenants that have like low income housing also to, you know, have a decent apartment and a decent way to live.
Valérie Plante promises around 60,000 affordable housing units over the next 10 years. And Denis Coderre promised 50,000 residential units in 4 years. In your opinion, are either of these plans attainable?
In both cases, Denis Coderre and Valérie Plante have took engagement, but that for us, that are not enough ambitious for solving the crisis. We know that the intention of the 60,000 of Valérie Plante would also to be clarifying how many of these units are out of the market, because some of them could be developed by non-profit organization. That's what they mentioned many times in the news. It will be really interesting to know how much of these 60,000 units will be truly developed out of the market by non-profit organization or either by public service.
So out of the 50,000 residential units that Denis Coderre wants to build, 10,000 of those are going to be social housing. Is this enough for what the city requires?
10,000 is a really low amount over 4 years. I mean, it's a good step forward, but it's a really low amount considering how many people are waiting and expecting social housing, how many people are paying already way too much for rent, and how many people are, you know, living in too small apartment or in bad condition apartment. So this is the 100,000 tenants in Montreal that are living in one of those conditions. That's why we are truly asking the candidate to be way more ambitious.
That was Anna Sabourin speaking with Catherine Lucier. Canadian parents gave their kids generous financial help for down payments on houses in the past year. CIBC reported that 30% of Hearst home buyers received such help. The average amount offered by families increased by $30,000 since 2015. The average went up to $82,000 this year. This information comes out as house prices are increasing all over the country. A 46-year-old man died last night after being stuck by an STM bus. Police responded to a 911 call at 11 in Villeray. Abigail Jersey is live at the scene. So Abigail, what does it look like this morning?
It is quiet this morning. There's not much going on other than the traffic of the cars, and people in the borough are going about their regular routine. But an investigator just showed up a minute ago to kind of investigate the crosswalks and take pictures of the crosswalks this morning.
And so what's the reaction on the scene?
So most people in the borough actually didn't know what had happened last night. But there was a man who had heard this morning, and he was quite surprised.
Well, usually bus drivers should be very attentive and should be driving better and should be looking out for pedestrians.
Is the investigation still ongoing?
Yes, the investigation is still ongoing, and police are looking into what happened. The 56-year-old bus driver is in the hospital from shock, but luckily there were no passengers on the bus last night.
Thank you, Abigail. 10 construction workers were injured at work last night when a scaffolding collapsed. The emergencies received a call at 1:45 in the morning. The workers were repairing a silo in a factory of Windsor in the Estrie region. Three of them were sent to the hospital due to severe injuries. The seven others were taken care of on site. An investigation is going on to determine the cause of the accident. Patients seeking immediate help during the night at Lachin Hospital will soon have to go elsewhere. Starting November 7th, the emergency room will open from 8 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. The news follows a series of reports highlighting problems in emergency rooms across the province. We join Yannick Lepage live from the Lachin Hospital. So Yannick, these reduced opening hours are due to staff shortages?
Yes. Well, according to Gilda Salomone, spokesperson for the Lachin Hospital, they are facing critical shortage of nurses and respiratory therapists. The hospital, which is the only French one in the West Island, says that it has had trouble finding enough staff for years, but that the pandemic exacerbated this issue, leading to this decision that came in last night to reduce the opening hours of the emergency room and close the intensive care unit starting November 7. I talked with patients of the hospital who sympathized with the reality nurses are facing. Here's what one had to say.
I feel badly about that, but we've been through a pandemic. And people are worn out, the nurses are worn out, and have to have some time to renew themselves.
So now, patients and ambulances arriving outside opening hours will be directed to nearby hospitals?
Yes, but this is often easier said than done. Dr. Paul Saba, president of the Council of Physicians at the Lachin Hospital, explained in a written statement that they are serving patients who do not always have the means to go downtown. He further explained that rerouting a seriously ill patient to an hospital at 4 p.m. isn't the same as looking for a different fast food joint because the nearest one is closed. I talked with a man who was concerned about the effects of this closing, especially for people with limited mobility. Here's what he had to say.
It's easy for me. It's not easy for my wife because she's pretty immobile. I'm just going over to the car right now because she has a wheelchair, so it just makes it more difficult.
And it's not only the Lachin Hospital that has problems with its emergency room.
Yes, well, yesterday reports started coming in from hospitals all over the province. They highlight mismanagement, a lack of organization, and staff shortages, especially in emergency rooms. If issues are not resolved promptly, other hospitals could soon be added to the list of already 10 establishments that have had to close or partially close some of their services. With the obligation for healthcare workers to be vaccinated arriving in just a few weeks after being pushed back on October 13, everyone waits to see how the government will deal with this situation.
Thank you, Yannick. The Quebec Construction Commission and the Intervention Council for Women's Access to Work are working together to fight discrimination, intimidation, and harassment against women in the construction sector. Sarah Dixon spoke with construction worker Brittany Burke about her experience on construction sites.
So a lot of the time they'll just ignore me, but I've definitely received a few comments. I've been told that they don't respect me.
Women represent only 13.3% of the workforce in the construction sector. The trend seems to be slowly moving in the right direction, but it is estimated that more than half of women will leave the industry after 5 years, and one in four women have reported being victims of bullying and harassment. The awareness campaign hopes to bring attention to this issue.
Oh my God, y'a vraiment pas beaucoup de femmes.
One of the campaign videos is titled Open the Sites to Women, Everyone Wins. It showcases workers in the field and calls on companies to adopt zero tolerance policies. Yasmina Drisi is a coordinator with the Intervention Council for Women's Access to Work. She explains how the campaign works. The message is for construction workers to tell them it's enough. All forms of intimidation and discrimination towards women will not be tolerated. And is equally a message for women to let them know that yes, there are measures already put in place, so come join the construction workforce. Burke hopes the campaign is effective, but has her doubts.
It definitely could help, but it also just depends on who's on site. If there's a lot of older workers on site, there's pretty much nothing that you can do.
The videos for the campaign are available on the web. They will also be released on social media pages of the associations involved over the next few weeks. Sarah Dixon, Concordia News.
In sports, the Flames defeat the Rangers, the Canadian women hockey team and the American team clash in a pre-Olympic exhibition game, and in football, mistakes cost the Seattle Seahawks. Here is Margaret Wodiak with all our sports news.
And he's going to get there! Wow! Looked like like a colossal mistake, and instead it turns into a touchdown.
Last night, the New Orleans Saints defeated the Seattle Seahawks 13-10 thanks to the Seahawks' many mistakes, including being flagged for roughing the passer and jumping offside on a long field goal attempt. This is the first time Seattle lost three straight games since 2011.
Picked up Poulin, back to Jenner, Brian Jenner, rebound, chance here, they score! Sarah Filliet on the power play!
That was the call on TSN as Canada scored against the US. The Canadian national women's hockey team beat the US national team 3-2 in last night's exhibition match. The match was game 5 in a 9-game pre-Olympic rivalry series between the two nations.
Lindholm now over the line, Johnny Gaudreau, Tanev, the trailer, shoots, scores! Chris Tanev on a setup.
Another hockey news, the Calgary Flames beat the New York Rangers 5-1 and the third straight win last night, crushing the Rangers' winning streak. The Rangers won the last four games. Tonight, the Habs will face off against the Seattle Kraken. This will be the Canadiens' first game against the newly formed team. The Astros and the Braves will face off tonight in the first match of the World Series of Major League Baseball. This will be the first time the two teams will clash since 2017.
Thank you, Margaret. The mayor of Wentworth North was caught peeing in his opponent's backyard this weekend. A video taken by councillor André Cliche's security cameras shows François Galli entering the private property and peeing in a corner. The event follows a tense relationship between the two municipal representatives. Mayor Galli is hoping to be re-elected in Wentworth North this year. Keep your coat on with you because the temperature won't rise over 12 degrees for the rest of the week. It will rain tomorrow morning, and after that, days will be sunny until Sunday. Until Friday, in fact, because a rainy weekend is coming ahead with temperature around 10 degrees. That's your news to 1131. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Véronique Morin.